Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the City Chatter Podcast. I'm your host, John Bernstrom, Public Information Officer for the City of Grand Forks, and we are honored today to have the boss of the City Council, the boss, the man, Dana Sandy, City Council President. Dana, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I didn't know that we were going to talk curling for half an hour today, but that's great. I appreciate the opportunity.
We could. Mm-hmm. Does curling season ever end?
Curling season is officially over. I missed the playoffs this year because of my fifth eye surgery, unfortunately, so I didn't have the opportunity to defend my league championship, but that's okay. They all know who's the best.
They all know
who's
there. They know. Yeah. So. Quick question. This is a curling question. Like I work with other sports and stuff, and I know curling ice is very specific. Do they take that ice out every year?
Oh, yeah. As soon as the season was over, once they finished the all-city tournament, they just flipped the switch, turned the plant off, and it melts right away.
Melts right away, and then you've got to bring in the new stuff or put in the new stuff. You know, I know there are guys, I believe he's from Thompson, travels around the world.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Stavateg.
Yeah.
He's world-renowned ice maker, curling ice maker.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. All right. So last night you guys had a city council meeting, committee of the whole meeting. Last night. A couple of things that were on the agenda, and we'll hit a few of these things. Right off the top of the meeting, I got an update. We have two seasons here, right? Winter and road construction. Mm-hmm. And you got an update on the 2024 road construction season for the city of Grand Forks. Anything stand out to you in that?
Yeah, there is going to be an incredible amount of road construction this summer and all summer long, and please be patient. So you're not going to be able to avoid it. You're not going to be able to take side streets to try to get to other roads. Everywhere you turn, there's going to be roads under construction. We're fortunate that we've got a boom from state and federal dollars coming into the community. We're taking advantage of the essentially 80-20 or 90-10
right.
opportunities where the local share is so small. And so it's unfortunate that they're all getting lumped into to the same year. But we've got to do it. And so after, this goes back to when Mayor Brown was in, and we knew that we had a big problem with the roads. And so again, taking advantage of the opportunities that have been given to us by the state. And then, of course, the additional sales tax dollars that were passed for infrastructure, water and roads. Mm-hmm. And so we've been able to utilize those dollars for a lot of the local collector streets as well. So it's going to be a big year. Two of the main north-south runs are going to be choked at the same time. The underpass on Washington.
Yeah, that's starting next week.
And the overpass at Columbia are both going to be down to one lane, if not totally closed, at the same time. So again, hopefully people will take advantage of the interstate. Perhaps we'll be able to direct people downtown.
Yeah, there we go.
And
that work's done.
And so people can cut Demers downtown, hit Fifth, and cut over to Gateway if they need to get up on the north end. So be patient and recognize that although it's going to be one really terrible year, when it's done, it's going to be done. It's going to be great.
Right. So. As a council member, you get phone calls from constituents and stuff. How often is it the pothole here, the boots on the ground type of work that the city does, or do you get more philosophical type questions?
Yeah, only in the spring do we hear about the potholes, right?
Sure.
Of course, that's when they're prolific. I don't get too many calls about roads in general. The calls that I get from constituents are more related to like actual personal problems that they're having.
Sure.
A city car was in my berm and now left a rut.
Sure.
Those
sure.
sorts of things. Yeah. That things that in the general scope to the city don't really matter at all.
Right.
But to the individual, they matter a lot.
Right.
And so, I spend a lot of my time when I actually working for the citizens, dealing with the things that are completely inconsequential to essentially everyone in the community,
sure.
except for the one person.
Right.
But those are the things that make a difference in people's lives. So I feel a lot of personal gratification when I'm able to help people with the inconsequential.
Well, along those lines, it's not a big deal until it's a big deal.
That's
right?
Exactly.
You put a rut down the road, I don't care. It's in front of my house. Mm-hmm. Get out of the way.
That's right.
Yep.
Whether it's that or alleys or
sure.
whatever.
What if garbage can gets
right.
knocked over.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. Stuff like that. Also, this is the city is growing specifically to the south and a lot specifically since the flood of 97. And you guys as a council got an update on, frankly, just drainage on the south end of Grand Forks and how to handle that as the city grows south. Is this the city reacting to something, or is this trying to plan ahead as the city grows, or a little bit of both?
Flooding, the early spring flooding that we had in 22 really was a wake-up call for our engineering department. Flood protection is one of the most serious things that we have and that we take care of in our community, right? City government, we have fire department, we have police department, you know, the traditionals. But flooding is a major deal for our community because of the history of the floods that we've had here and the fact that when we close the barriers, we're all expecting, we have a high level expectation that we're going to be secure from flooding, and including overland flooding that comes from the west. And so when we have a major rain event, and we had the flooding, the street flooding that we did in 22, our engineering department wasn't expecting it, And I don't mean to say that they weren't prepared, but it was more severe than the model showed things should have been.
Sure.
And so
sure.
they've been spending a lot of time studying it and thinking about, well, how are we going to deal with this, especially as we continue to grow south and we're looking at new developments, Grand Valley is coming in and these sorts of things. How are we actually going to protect the folks on the south end? Because we already have our flood protection, and we're filled in on the north end.
Yeah, we're almost right up to it.
Yep. So at 20th by Hugo's on the north end, when we get a major rain event, the street floods.
Yep.
And we know it, and everyone that lives there knows it.
Used to live there.
And it's because the storm sewers aren't big enough in that area, and we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, we're going to have to fix that. But that's, you know, you're being reactionary. We're trying to be proactive on the south end, knowing that, okay, where are we today? Where do we want to be? Where's the growth going to be? And how are we going to deal with the flooding and major rain situation? So ultimately, I think our city staff has done a very good job of analyzing the situation and providing a rational thought process. It's not just moving the water out of town.
It's not putting one pump station
out. What do we do at the specific time when all the rain happens, for example? Excuse me. And so as people probably have noticed that there are a lot of storm ponds that we have around town.
Mm-hmm.
The storm ponds are new. Since I've been on the council, they're a new thing. And all new developments, all new when we take a green field and fill in, it gets a storm pond.
Yep.
That was EPA regulations because of runoff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Environmental Protection Agency says too many chemicals, too much junk is getting into our natural waterways.
Yep. Too quickly.
We need to hold water and slowly release it downstream to try to settle out those chemicals and garbage and junk and whatever. Right.
Yep.
The side benefit of that is it's actually become part of our flood protection system. So
it's a retaining pond before it gets to the river.
So yeah, so we can use it to retain storm runoff or flood runoff in all those areas of town. And so the storm ponds have become part of our flood protection system. The drainage system is essentially a large holding pond as well because the water doesn't move very fast, as Al Grasser said last
time. We're flat.
Because we're pretty flat. So all of that becomes part of the storm protection or the flood protection system. And so ultimately, their recommendation is we need to make the storm ponds, holding ponds, even bigger.
Right. And that's you guys as council then, as developers come forward and want to do this.
It's in city code, right?
Is the size of the pond in city code?
I'm sure.
Okay.
I don't know that for a fact, but I'm sure it is. I know it is because we have specific dedication percentage.
Sure, that's
percentage
right.
Size dedication. So whatever it is, 6% goes to parks and whatever percentage goes to
storm ponds. So that percentage may have to
change.
And
so it's going to have to change. And that's the difficult part about this is, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about housing last night too, because our planning department wants to increase density all across town. Because some people like, you know,
they want urban living. They want an in-law house.
Right. Yeah. But as part of that, we know that if we increase the size of the ponds, we're taking more of the land from the developer, that, and therefore the developers want to get whatever. They want to get a dollar out of that acre.
Right.
And if we have to take, instead of 10%, we're taking 20%, they still want a dollar out of that acre.
Right.
So that they all that get means it somewhere is the else. Land, the cost of the land is going to go up for the eventual home purchasers or retail customers or commercial industry that wants to buy or build or whatever. So it actually is it might seem like, yeah, we'll solve our flooding problem down south by making the retaining ponds bigger. Yep. It actually has long-reaching consequences for the growth and development of our community.
Well, and then you flip that. Again, the conversation you guys had last night, you increase the density in the neighborhood. Yes, okay, so that's a cheap way to add some housing, but that impacts traffic, that impacts –
of our infrastructure is based upon the zoning that is currently there. And if you allow again, going back to last night, the discussion was – should we allow a accessory residence?
Right. Upstairs of a garage.
Upstairs of a garage. So its own bathroom, its own kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's essentially another house built already on a lot that already has, in this situation, a duplex. So that property was currently R2, and R2 allows two homes.
You're right.
And so they've asked, and the planning department brought us this concept of, hey, if we allow for this, you can have a grandmother's, you know, a mother-in-law suite or whatever. Well, essentially what you're doing is changing the request, although it was very innocuous in, hey, what do you think about letting this guy build a garage? The actual request was, are you okay increasing the zoning density across the entire city?
Yep, that was the...
And so, yeah, I mean, ultimately the crux of it. And so everybody that lives in a single-family residence, so you're an R1 that allows one home per lot. Are you okay changing it to two? So, well, that's R2.
You're right.
Okay. Right? That's already what R2 is. So why would we do that? I mean, to me, it made no sense. Anyway, I think changes of that magnitude should never be taken lightly.
Well, and like you touched on, and like it was, you know, whether you're talking a storm pond where you're potentially these developers don't build, whether it's apartments or homes, to go broke. They have an idea of how much money they want to make, right? So if you change the size of the ponds, you're changing the scope or they can monetize their land, or vice versa. You can add housing, but then there's the ramifications of the infrastructure that's in the ground. You guys of council have to wrestle with all of that.
Yeah. And it's it's interesting. We have a lot, or often we wrangle with, and how do we have these discussions even? Because oftentimes, like with Epic,
that's the next topic.
They want to change, they want to change the scope of our agreement. Our agreement says they're going to build three buildings,
right?
And the city of Grand Forks is going to take the property tax that we would get off of those buildings to pay off a bond that we're going to sell, and the proceeds of that bond are going to build this big public event space.
Stage, whatever. Yep.
Stage, hockey rink.
All the above.
Whatever. So we have the income from the property taxes to pay back the bond.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we're expecting X number of dollars in property taxes from those buildings.
Three buildings.
From the three buildings. And in which case, if we get whatever it is, it's a dollar in property tax, we can sell a $5 million bond and cover the bond payments with the property taxes that we're getting from those three buildings. Well, Epic is saying that the interest rates have changed, the whatever's changed.
Yep. Everything's more expensive.
They can't build the third building.
Without help.
Without something. Right now, they're indefinitely not building that building.
Sure.
They're saying, we don't have the money to build it, whatever. We're not building that building. But they still want to do the event space. And so they want us to sell bonds based upon the two buildings instead of three buildings. So instead of us generating like $6.5 million from the sale of the bond, it's only like $4.2 million.
Right, because it's only two buildings now.
Right. And so essentially we're being asked to scale back the outdoor event space. Well, some of us on the council, myself included, bought in on this concept in the first place because we were talking about investing $4 to $5 million in Town Square.
The existing Town Square.
I don't know how you could possibly spend that kind of money on Town Square because it's not that big.
Sure.
Right? Unless you're leaving piles of money as decorations.
It's expensive to dig holes nowadays.
It's amazing. Anyway, so instead of pouring millions of dollars in Town Square, we're going to be getting the property taxes off these buildings. We could take that and put millions of dollars into an event space there, and essentially the city owns it because it's our property tax dollars that would be used to put it in. I think Epic, you know, we're all kind of in a bind right now. I honestly am not sure what the path forward is because I was sold a bill of goods. I want XYZ. That's what they told me we were going to get. And now they're saying, no, we're just going to go ABC. And that's not what I was in for. And so I'm not sure that I'm going to be supportive of this, but which is genuinely a problem because how does Epic fill their building?
Right.
How do they sell the commercial space? How do they lease the commercial space? How do they sell the condos? Because the concept was you're going to have this great public space.
Right.
So we're all in a box. Yeah. I feel like I'm in a box. I have no choice but to say yes when I totally want to say no. Because it's not what I bargained for.
Okay, so here's the question. Postponed. Can't use the word table.
Right.
It got postponed at Committee of the Whole. More information. Let's see. So is there a specific piece of information that if I hear this, I will then vote this one way or the other. Maybe it's a piece of information. If you come back with this, I'm saying no.
So here's what I think. I think as a community, we like an outdoor. We should have a nice outdoor space, right? Whether it's Town Square or whether it's between the Beacon buildings or whether it's in Riverside Park.
Sure.
No matter what, people are going to have to drive to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all things on the table, shouldn't we be looking all over town and trying to have a discussion about where is it logical, make the most logical sense to have an outdoor facility like this? I don't know if downtown is the actual place where that belongs. Where are the people going to park? Like, you want to go skate? Hey, let's go skating. We have to walk, take the bus. Like, it's great. It doesn't make sense. It never made sense to me from the beginning.
I'm sorry.
I
don't mean to laugh, right?
We're going to have a concert there. Okay, where are the people going to come from? How are they going to get there? It's a half-baked concept. Whatever. I don't know. Others wanted it. Okay. Sometimes they just go with the flow.
Okay. Go with the flow. Dina, I don't mean to laugh at
you.
What
are you going to do? You say no? We say no to everything.
Sure.
Sometimes you got to say yes.
There we go. And figure it out.
And try to figure it out. In this case, when you ask me, what are you going to need to hear? I don't know. I want somebody to say, hey, it belongs between those buildings because of these reasons, or it belongs by the swimming pool in Riverside Park for these reasons.
Sure.
Whatever. I want somebody to definitively say, this is why, here's where we should build this. And we've got their tax money coming in no matter what. I mean, the fact of the matter is we're going to have that revenue. We don't have to put it there. We put it anywhere we want to. It's our money.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So as a council, you guys are coming to the end of a You're going to have a couple of council members that are going to come off. You're about to start a new council here in a couple of months. Here's my question. As a veteran of a city council, you're the city council president. When you have new council members come on, do you take it on yourself of, hey, let's have a conversation. Here's some things that are coming, because you start right into the budget season, right? I mean, right into some heavy stuff. Do you, as a council leader, take that as yourself, or do you sit back and be like, all right, if they have questions, I'm available, but you do your own thing? How do you approach that? Is it different every time?
I try to spend time talking to and meeting new council members. Yep. And understand people's motivations. You know, usually people run for council for a specific reason.
Sure.
Not because they're a benevolent human being that really wants
something to do their happened sin. Along the line.
Yeah, yep. Somebody pissed them off usually, right? They're irritated, and so I try to understand. I mean, there are council members on, you know, I mean, Brett's on the council. He loves Grand Forks. He is a big advocate for density and walkability and sure. rideability, and those are the things that drew him to the council. Rebecca Osowski is angry about Fufeng. She didn't like the concept. She thought the folks on the north end weren't represented properly, and so that's why she ran. And I get that, right?
Sure.
And,
yep.
And Ken's an infrastructure guy and thinks that we need to make sure that we have all the right water tools, and so that he wanted to be on council to do that. And Danny Weigel, you know, he's a police officer, and he thinks that law and order is really important, and so he's not running for so he's running for council, right? I was pissed off at Hal Gershman because he didn't sell me one of the infill lots.
Sure.
And I was angry about it, and so I ran for council, and of course,
here we are.
And here we are. And so, I mean, I think, yeah, and I'm thankful to him today because things have worked out much better for me not having that.
Sure.
That
okay.
Lot, not getting that lot, so it worked out fine. But I mean, ultimately, you know, for myself, I was angry. I got on the council. First thing Hal did was put me on the committee that did the sales for the lots. I put them all up for sale instead of selling them two at a time like they were doing. Mm-hmm. We blew out all the lots, and then 6 months after I got on the council, I had nothing to be pissed off about anymore. So then that's when I actually started working for the
sure,
city.
Sure, right? Yeah. You got through your issue. Right. Yeah.
And you know, I was so fortunate. I was so fortunate to be on the council at the time that I was. The civic leaders that I got to work with you know, Terry Bjerke and Elliot Glassheim and Hal Gershman and Doug Christensen and Kurt Kroon. It's just unbelievable, powerful people, smart, logical, hardworking. And they, you know, I mean, for how difficult Mr. Christensen was sometimes, he is 100% the reason why I think I'm a good council member, because he pantsed me so bad.
Oh, man.
And I knew that I never wanted that to happen again. And so I started reading everything. Like, I became, from right then and there is when I said to myself, this is never happening again. I started reading everything. All the minutes. I read the MPO minutes. Who reads the MPO minutes? I read the MPO minutes. Right. I want to know what's going on. I read East Grand Forks City Council minutes because I want to know what's going on in our community, right? And so it's amazing how, if you have the information, how powerful you become, because you know the answers before you're asking the questions.
Sure.
And so, yeah, Mr. Christensen I owe him 100% gratitude for making me a decent council member, because I had to. And when he left and said that you guys will miss me, he was right. I do miss him.
Right. No, that's interesting, because to your point, every council is different. It's different personalities. That's an interesting part of it. As staff, we do the same thing. We're just like, hey. All right, you know, all I can do is answer questions you have.
With all due respect to our current council, we have a very weak council right now, and I'm not sure how to deal with that. Our city administration has become incredibly powerful, even though the city council grants them their power. Todd and the mayor essentially, Todd's running the city right now, and if people don't know that, they should. Todd Pheland is making all of the decisions. Well, not all of the decisions. Todd Pheland is guiding every decision that's made in our community. And it's great. I don't fault Todd, because what an amazing leader we have. Todd's probably the best city administrator that we will ever have in our community. And we're so lucky to have him. But if you disagree with Todd's opinion, you better be way ahead of, way out in front, because Todd's already made up his mind what he's going to do. And so people need to pay attention. And our council, I don't know what to do to get people to be more active.
And by, this is a fair question. I'm on the staff side as well. Is by active, do you mean like the conversations during the week or during the meetings themselves?
I mean reading, thinking, and being prepared.
Okay.
I think when I first got on the council, I was incredibly prepared because I had to be, because Doug pantsed me. But I wasn't the most prepared person there.
Sure.
Because everybody there was doing their homework, and they were reading and thinking, and they were really prepared. And so when we had conversations, they were logical, spirited, and oftentimes many of the questions that people would have, they had already sent emails and had gotten their questions answered way before the meeting started, so that they could come and actually present their point with the information that they've learned. And again, with all due respect to my fellow council members, and you look at the other boards in the city, the Planning and Zoning Commission. I'm pretty convinced most of the people aren't even reading the meeting agendas before they show up for the meetings, right? And I know people are busy, and I know it's hard to get people to serve. I recognize that. But I never wanted to be on the council so that I could tell people I was on the city council. At the time, I was mad and I wanted to fix this, but I'm on the city council because I want to do what's best and what I think will help our community. I'm not saying others don't want that, but in certain situations, I think people are serving simply for personal gain. And I don't have much time for that.
Gonna leave that at there. They're right there. Okay, lighter topic, and then we're gonna get you on the road.
And I really enjoy working with our current city council. Don't get me wrong, really enjoy it. They're smart people, good, honest, hardworking. I just think sometimes people aren't as prepared as they should be.
This upcoming, you'll be swearing in a new council. Which number council is this for you then?
I'm still in my fourth term. You're not running for re-election.
No, I understand that. But every time there's at least one person terms over, you have a new council.
Oh, right? Sure. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how many councils you've been on.
This will be my,
this be eight?
This will be eight, yeah.
Eight for you? So, again, personal dynamics, everything, just like you said, right? Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe I'll get lucky and I won't get elected council president.
I guess...
Maybe.
I'm not sitting in those chairs to make those decisions.
Yeah,
I just sit in the back and I push buttons. That's all I do.
You know, it is very gratifying work. It is really gratifying work when you can get a phone call from somebody that has a problem and actually help them out.
Sure.
More people should get to get that thank you from general mm-hmm. person you've never met before. It's really fun.
From a stranger. There's something to that. I agree with that. All right. Last topic here, our non-city topic, our kind of fun topic. We just got through the Masters. The Masters golf mm-hmm. tournament. I'm a big golf fan. I didn't realize coming in you wanted to talk curling, mm-hmm. so I was a little caught off guard there. But I have some. The Masters is played at Augusta National Golf Club. First tournament, this was the 88th Masters. The first tournament at the Masters was 1934. So if you do the math, you're like, well, they should be at 91. Mm-hmm. They did not play year 43, 44, 45, World War II. Do you know what they did with Augusta National those 3 years?
What did they do with Augusta National those 3 years? I'm not sure.
Put it to pasture. They raised turkeys and cattle for the war effort.
Wow.
I suppose, you know, golf course, we're not going to play golf. What do we have here?
Yeah, right. Lots of grass.
We got grass and open land. Hmm. Every hole at the Masters has a name. Every hole is named.
Okay.
And they're all named either after a flower or a shrub. There's red dogwood, there's azalea and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But all the names of the course are after plants that are actually on the course.
Oh, interesting. That's great.
I'd always watch the Masters. I hear the names, and I'm like, it's named after somebody's daughter. Sure. Right?
What does it cost to be a member there? Do you know?
There is no dollar value to put on there. You have to be asked by an existing member to be a member. And then the cost is who knows?
I just was asked to join, yep. And
Oh, really?
I was wondering if you knew how much, because they wouldn't tell me.
You're now my new best friend. Yeah. And then finally, only one president has ever been a member of Augusta National Golf Club. Can you name that president? I was surprised by that. I was surprised, but I watched the Masters, and I'm like, of course it is.
Bill Clinton?
Nope, Dwight Eisenhower.
Well, I suppose, but yeah.
The reason
military guy, right?
Yep, and the reason I sit there and I'm like, of course I should know that, is there's a pond at Augusta National called Eisenhower Pond. Sure. Okay. I just thought they were being patriotic.
Sure, yeah, but, yeah,
right.
Well, Eisenhower, interesting.
Evidently, he had his own cabin there, and he would just go there and play golf.
Yeah, that was back before you had to be incredibly wealthy to be a member, I would guess.
Well, you know, World War II hero and President of the United States, I think, goes a long way.
Yeah, well, I suppose.
Yeah. Dana, thank you for joining us, squeezing into schedules here. Very much appreciate it. It was a good topic.
Off to Rochester again, so it should be a really exciting afternoon.
Hopefully everything goes all right. Dana Sandy, City Council President, joining us here for the latest edition of the City Chatter Podcast. You can watch this episode or any previous episode of the podcast at grandforksgov.com/podcast. And we're getting into the spring. We talked road construction. Spring cleanup is the second week in May this year. We moved it back a week on purpose because, you know, we always flood in the spring until we have a winter with no snow. But we moved it back. We moved it back a week, second week in May. And then other than that, do you have any questions? Call the city 311. Go to the website, grandforksgov.com. We'll answer all your questions. So we have for you. We'll catch you next time.